If you're in New York and want to see the work by pop artist Roy Lichtenstein, you could take a subway to the museum, or you could just take the subway. A 53-foot mural that Lichtenstein created for the subway system in 1994, but that has been in storage ever since, was finally installed and unveiled last month. It's called the Times Square Mural, and that's where you'll find it, near the main subway entrance at the intersection of two of the city's most famous streets, Broadway and 42nd Street. The mural is one of two new projects showcasing Lichtenstein, who died in 1997 at the age of 73. The other is a new art book overview, which has just been published. It's called The Prince of Roy Lichtenstein. Lichtenstein brought the style and subject matter of pop culture into the fine arts. He put wham and blam into his paintings, literally. His early paintings from the 1960s were inspired by comic books. In fact, they looked just like frames from romance comics, war comics, and Mickey Mouse, including the thought balloons and the Socko Pow exclamations. Terry spoke with Roy Lichtenstein in 1993 at the time of a major retrospective at the Guggenheim Museum. She asked him why he wanted to do his own versions of romance comics and war comics.
I guess what I liked about both of them is that they're both emotional in different ways. I mean, the war things are full of action, and the women are crying,
right. You
know, or waiting for telephone calls or something. And that is the stereotype portrayed in comic books at the time, which really reflected the feeling of society. And but the idea of doing highly emotional subject matter in a very dry, mechanical, removed way seemed to symbolize something about where society was. I mean, wars were being waged at a push of the button and things like that.
In one of your love comics, a worried woman is asking the man who is with her, it's not an engagement ring, is it? And in the catalog that accompanies your show at the Guggenheim, they reprint the comic that you base that on. It's from a Winnie Winkle comic.
Mm-hmm.
And the context that comes from, the woman is saying, Perry, about this piece of jewelry you're planning to buy for Tanya. And he says, I just want to show her how much she means to me. And then the woman says, It's not an engagement ring, is it?
I know. It's a completely different thing when it's taken out of context.
Yeah. So, what interested you in that particular Winnie Winkle?
Well, it wasn't the Winnie Winkle. It was just a pretty girl and a handsome man,
mm-hmm.
and those stereotypes. And the cliche of being enthralled about engagement rings. I mean, I'm sure everyone is even now, but it seemed like a male and a female thing to do.
All of your paintings, or maybe I should say most of your paintings, mm-hmm. Come from print matter, from a two-dimensional source, from a, mm-hmm. from comics or from advertisements, or in some cases from other paintings. You seldom, if ever, paint from life itself.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that? I mean, you know, there's the tradition in art that mm-hmm. you're painting from the still life or the model or the landscape. You're painting from life, not from a reproduction of life.
Yeah. Well, I know that. I even did that before. I mean, when I was in the 50s, I had several shows in New York, which not many people know about, and the work was kind of expressionist and cubist and, you know, very derivative in retrospect. And it was from historical paintings or paintings of cowboys and Indians or something like that. So I always seem to have used two-dimensional sources. And, you know, I mean, I feel that artists are always using two-dimensional sources. They just think they're using three-dimensional sources. In other words, if we all started to learn to draw and paint simply by looking at the model, we'd all be painting like children. You know, it really is that you're painting in terms of the history of art, and you're really making a drawing of a life model the way Michelangelo did. You know, I don't mean that there have been no advances in this, but mostly all of that seeing is learned from looking at two-dimensional sources, not three-dimensional sources.
You did a series of paintings of brushstrokes, and of course in abstract expressionism, you know, brushstrokes and dripping paint were about what it was all about. I mean, it was about seeing the action, the process of the painting, the hand of the painter, the drip of the paint.
Yeah.
But of course, the brushstrokes that you painted had no real dripping paint at all. I mean, the drips were carefully colored in. was this your comment on abstract expressionism, this kind of ironic version of brushstrokes?
No, I think it was a comment on the comparison between that bravura act that they did with paint and the my way of representing it, which is it's where I'm painstakingly drawing the brushstroke up, you know, as though I were painting something difficult to paint, you know, and that one is romantic and the other is classical, and that it's really a drawing of an ideal brushstroke or something that looks like a brushstroke. And it doesn't fool you. I mean, you don't think it's real, that's really a brushstroke, but you think it's a picture of a brushstroke, and, you know, that's a kind of absurd thing to do. And it has that built-in absurdity, and that's the reason I like it.
There's a chapter in the catalog that accompanies your Guggenheim show, a chapter that's called Clichés into Icons. Is that what you see yourself as doing, transforming clichés into icons?
Well, I like the idea, and I do think that there's a relationship between classical art and cliché. I mean, the Greeks or Romans, we look at as trying to make ideal figures or ideals of beauty and that sort of thing. And so are comic strip people. They're making an ideal pretty girl or handsome man or whatever the thing is, rocket ship. And but one is thought of as important and the other isn't. And but by making archetypes, I am trying to make them into icons. And if you, particularly even in sculpture where I isolate something, you know, it can be a lamp that's standing on its light rays, you know, or something like that, or a German expressionist head or something. I try to make it as cliched or as typical or whatever it is. And that's really the same thing, I think, as making it classical.
You know what I'm asking about? The style that you paint in, that style that looks like mechanical reproduction but isn't, this is a style that you appropriated from mass culture. But it seems to me at this point it's become something else. It's become your style. It's become your personal style. So painting in that style must feel really different than it did when you started. It must have really become a way to express yourself, to a very personal vocabulary for you. One that you must be very comfortable with.
Yeah, I think that's, you're explaining it very well, that because it originally had that meaning, this is printing and so forth, and I don't think that's, even though it still may mean that, it certainly not doesn't reveal anything, and it's just become a way of making colors. So now, or tonalities, I use dots and diagonals and dots that graduate from thick to thin, and I mix them up in the painting with other colors, and it's it just became a way of working. And if I could find a way out, I would be happy to do that, you know, but the way has to mean something. And I tried one group, which I like a lot, of landscapes are made of brushstrokes, some of which are real brushstrokes, and some are cartooned brushstrokes, and they work together in the painting, and it gives the painting a certain interesting surface, which I would have disdained a few years ago. But so I'm trying to do various things and trying to extend it, but I don't want to make it complicated or decorative. And I like the plainness of it. But it is just the way I work, and it's interesting that what would become every man's style, I mean, you know, is very recognizable.
Roy Lichtenstein, speaking with Terry Gross in 1993. Lichtenstein passed away in 1997. A collection of his work from 1948 through 1997 has just been published. It's called The Prince of Roy Lichtenstein.